I gotta tell you something. There is nothing better than baptism arm. And that's when your sleeve gets all wet, and whether it's the two kids that experienced life change and declared it to you guys earlier, Cheyenne in first service, that I got to baptize and my arm is wet, then I will leave this shirt on all day because it is a great reminder that life change happened today. And I know for a fact that Cheyenne was somebody's one. Cheyenne was invited into a family first, and then invited into a community, and through that community, she engaged with God, and her life will never be the same. And that is because of you guys, this community. And I gotta tell you, there's nothing better. We are in a community right here, and there's today we are dead center in the middle of our community series, and at this point forward, we are moving into the relationships that make up community, and today's on the church. And what better place to start than when the church started, when the church caught fire, and that is, of course, at Pentecost. So Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to be today, specifically Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. But I got to explain a little bit. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 is a summary passage. And what that means is it summarizes two narratives. It sits in the middle of two narratives. It summarizes the narrative right before, and then it leads into the narrative afterwards, and that is what it is. When we look at Paul's letters, we see this a lot when he uses the word therefore or because of. He's summarizing, God did all of this, therefore, this is where we go. This is how we move, and that's what we're seeing here just in Luke's way of doing a summary passage in Acts, and this passage is summarizing Pentecost. It's summarizing the time where God's Holy Spirit came down and ignited a group of people that would change their community and change the world. They would turn that world upside down through God's Holy Spirit. But this isn't the first Pentecost. See, Pentecost just means 50. 50th day, actually. And there's another Pentecost that this points back to, and if you've heard me preach before, you know I love this thing called hyperlinks. It's where different points of the Bible point to other points of the Bible, and they all connect and they all link. So when you see Acts chapter 2, some versions of the Bible use this word, the fullness. So when the fullness of Pentecost came, and the reason why it does that is because it points back to Exodus. See, the 50th day in Acts is the 50th day from when Jesus rose again, defeated death, conquered the grave, conquered sin, changed our trajectory, and brought us back in relationship with God. But in that first Pentecost, it is the 50th day after Moses brings the Israelites out of Egypt. So 50 days from that point is when Moses comes down from the mountain with the law, something that's going to separate the people of Israel and make the world know that they are God's. By following this law, they are saying, I belong to Yahweh, I belong to the Creator. This is what our marking, this is what we do. This is how we love. This is how we act. This is who we are in God. And so Acts chapter 2 brings the fullness of that, because it's not the law, it is God's Spirit entering into the new temple, which is each and every one of us. Fulfills what has already happened. And from there, the Holy Spirit comes, and Peter starts to preach, and thousands and thousands, 3,000 according to the Bible, come into this group of people known as Christians, the followers of the way. From there, it explodes, and the world will never be the same. The fullness of Pentecost is seen in these people. So this passage, 42 through 47, is the therefore from that moment, and is the way they live with each other in community, ready to take on the world that's in front of them. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it doesn't start out light. It actually starts out just like when Paul does his therefore, he's coming in with a hook and it's landing. It's the same here. It's coming in hard. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And right away we have a pattern called pairings. And it's meant to change and turn everything upside down. See, in the world around them, it's so much worse than it is today. Right now, we can walk in and we can feel like we are just in our job, a cog in the wheel. We can feel like we're just a piece. We can feel lonely and isolated, and we can feel out of the norm. But then, it was so much worse then. There, the haves represented a very small little sliver of what the community actually was, what the society actually was, and everyone below that was a have-not. And the only way you entered into relationship with people is by what you could get out of them. That's how relationships worked back then. So if you wanted to have a good job, you already kind of had to be in there, because they're not gonna open it up to anyone that they can't get anything out of. Because to bring someone up and to give them a good job and to give them a good life and a good place in society would mean you're not getting anything out of that person. You're lifting them up just for the kindness of their heart. That never happens. And this community is coming in to change that upside down. And the first thing they do is these pairings, and they pair an act of worship with an act of social norms. So in that act of worship, it is immediately paired with an act of social behavior. So we get the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Those are combined together because that is how these people did life. The people they worshiped with, the people they did life with, and those social cues, they intermix into a point where they were one and the same. We're going to come back to fellowship, by the way. I got some words on that. And then the second, the breaking of bread, that's eating in the home. It's kind of thought that could be communion, but it's not. There's other places in communion. In other words, the breaking of bread is eating together in your home. It is a social activity that is also paired with prayer that becomes an act of worship. So for every act of worship, there is a social action that is tied with it. How we worship God was with each other. So fellowship. I don't like the word fellowship when we use it in church. And before you get mad at me, I got to explain why. Because when we talk about fellowship in today's context, we talk about, hey, we're going to go into the fellowship hall and we're going to have a potluck. We're going to go hang out together. When fellowship is so much deeper than just some hangout once in a while that happens after church. Fellowship is the act of a deep connection in community that is spent doing life together. It is a deep, deep connection, not some little flyby every once in a while we'll hang out type of thing. For you to fellowship with somebody, actually a good example of this would be the Lord of the Rings. The Fellowship of the Ring. These people were in fellowship because they had this deep bond brought about the mission that was put on their lives. Fellowship is so much deeper than a once in a while hangout that we have. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And what this basically means is everyone who was looking, it was undeniable. It was undeniable that what was going on in this community was the work of God, was the Holy Spirit flowing through. God was in this and amongst it, and things were happening. Lives were being changed. It was undeniable that God was here in this movement. 44, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. And of course, the Bible uses a lot of hyperbole, just like we do. We use a lot of hyperbole. The Bible does the same thing. It doesn't change. So everything in common doesn't mean it's every little thing. They weren't all Chiefs fans. Sorry. But they had everything in common that mattered. And that main thing, that in common of Jesus and the mission they are on and the life they live together, made everything seem like it was in common, because that is what mattered. There were no little things that separated them from each other like outside society. There were no little areas in life that just tried to pull each other apart because of opinions and politics or whatever it may be. That didn't exist in the church. Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And this is always some place where people, if I'm a Christian, does that mean I have to sell my house? Does that mean I have to live poor and communal life? No. Back then, we look at the reason why they made the decisions they did, not the decisions that they made. But back then, for someone to say, I'm following Jesus, means that you walked away from everything. You walked away from your family, which in that day, in that society, most times means that your job was tied to your family because you just kept doing what your family did. So you lost that. You lost your home. You lost every relationship you had to follow Jesus. So according to the Bible, at the thousands, people were moving into this community. There is nothing else to do than to try to be that safety net for all these people that are choosing Jesus. We don't have that problem here because we have safety nets. We have government. We have Christians out there that are making groups, First Call for Help, the Salvation Army. They're there to pick up those pieces for the people that fall through the gaps. And we are a part of that. We are a part of that. So a great example of how this was lived out in my life, when we were still in California, I worked for the government of California, and of course, things don't change. The government of California is bad with money. And so they get a little surplus, they spend it all, and then they're broke, and then they panic, and they get a little surplus, and they spend it all, and they're broke. It's this cycle that happens time after time after time again. And one of these, it was so bad, they cut every government employee, everyone that worked for the state of California, they made major pay cuts to them. Major, and I was one of them. So there was a couple in our church who saw this come across on the news, and their first action was to go down to the store, buy a ton of gift cards, and not cheap, not $25. They spent some money, and they sent out in the mail thousands of dollars to everyone in the church that worked for the state, of grocery gift cards and everything else, because they knew, well, my brother and sister, they're gonna be hurting. Their families are gonna go through something because of what's going on here. So we can step up and we can be that safety net. We can do our part in that. That is what I see in this moment. When the hard stuff of the day happens, we've gotta be ready to do what it takes to step up and provide for those that are stumbling. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Again, the pairing. They met in the temple, just like we are right now. And then they broke bread in their homes and they celebrated. Their worship was tied to their social. And that bond that was made, it is what we're designed to do. And see, we cannot have a proper relationship with our Creator without a proper relationship to His people. We're not designed that way. It doesn't work. The Lone Ranger thing, we hear that a lot, and it's kind of corny, but it doesn't. It doesn't work. We have to have each other. 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. When the people of Jesus act like the people of Jesus, the community is irresistible. When the people of Jesus act like the people of Jesus, the community is irresistible. Do we agree with that? See, the major difference between the followers of Jesus and the world that is around them is they are not a group of people that are looking for what they get out of each other. They're a group of people that are concentrating on being Jesus to each other, to fill in the gaps, to be there every time someone needs something. They are focused first on each other and the mission that they are called to. It's not about them. It is about others and the mission. And that's what made them so irresistible to the outside world, because it looked nothing like the chaos all around them. It was something different. Completely different. They were living the life they were designed to live. They were living the life in true community. Community of people chasing Jesus together. To live a life we were designed to live, we need to be in community. And there is nothing other than the community that we are designed for. To follow Jesus, we have to do what Jesus did. And see, they aren't inventing something here. The apostles are leading the people of Jesus into what Jesus modeled for them. So, Jesus had very clearly three levels of friends, three levels of society that he worked in. One, of course, is the crowd. We're in the crowd right now. They showed up and they listened to him. He fed them. There were social acts within that crowd, but it is the crowd of people that he spent a lot of time teaching in. But he spent more time with the 12. So Jesus took those crowds and brought them into a smaller group of people big enough to live life together, and they did. They went everywhere together. They lived life together. They, of course, this is Jesus, so it's a little bit different today, but they did life together in their context. We push that as well. So the early church had their crowds. They had the people that ate in homes as their 12. And we push life groups here. And I know, shocker. The guy who has life groups on his title is pushing life groups. I get it. But that doesn't take away what Scripture tells us. There's a reason why we have someone's, and well, I have a lot more than this, but a huge part of my job is to help you guys get into these type of communities. It's a reason why it is the first point on all of our pillars, to get into community, because it is the trigger for everything. For Cheyenne, it was the trigger for her to find Jesus. When you get in these types of groups, when you get in life groups, and I'm going to tell you right now, it takes time. It takes time to build these kind of relationships that matter, that help you take on the world. I think my life group's been together, 6 years or so? It took time to build our relationships and the bonds that we have. Because when you enter a group of people like this, when you set these bonds, they do several things for you. And there's a list of 100 things, but I've narrowed it down to 4. When you have a group like this, this group will run into the fire for you. and you for them. So when life comes and the fire's blazing and things are getting hot, they are the people who will step up and stand right next to you and help bring you through whatever life is throwing at you. Two, they keep you from being devoured. And there's several parts in Scripture where it links sin to a beast ready to devour you. And these are the type of people, these relationships are the ones that keep you out of that danger. They're the ones that, as you can, they can see sin crouching on that tree line. And as you, if you start to walk that way, if you start to make a mistake and head in that direction, they can grab you and go, no, there's nothing good for you over there. And I don't know what that is in your life, but there's a verse I like in Amos. And it's the context is a little different, but the sentiment's the same. And it's a shepherd, when a shepherd tries to pull the lamb out of the mouth of a lion, he'll only get back a leg and some ears. That's it. Don't wait until you have gone too far to reach out and find help. These people are there to help you long before you get near that beast. Three, understand, it helps you understand who God has made you to be. And that's simply this. God has gifted each and every one of us with your talents, your giftings, the things that make you special. However, in our culture, we always want to be something that we're not, and that hurts the church, because we can go back to the parts that Paul writes, where a hand and some are an eye, and we make one body, and the body only works when that part is doing the job that they were created to do. And I'll give you an example of this, and it screams at me this whole last week. Around here, like when you count Wednesday nights and kids and youth and everything else, I'm the one that preaches the least around here just because I don't have the opportunity. But when I watch Christy and Brandon and Kent and Dustin and Aaron, when I watch them sit down and write their messages, they do some study and then they just bust out a manuscript. It's no problem. They can get it all done in a day and it's there. It's easy. I can do my study, and I love to study. So in case you don't know, I am a giant nerd when it comes to studying and information. I inhale and probably too much, but I love to study, especially those little things that you just gotta dig and dig and dig for. But when it comes to taking that information and writing a manuscript, I can't do it. I can't. There's something in the way my brain works that it can't come, my brain and my heart, and onto a page. And the more I try to be like them, the worse I do. But because I love to study, if I spend more time studying and I just write some bullet points, then I've got to lean on my study and know that it's going to come out. That's how I have to be made. See, there is safety in a manuscript. When you write a manuscript and you go through your manuscript, you know that what you wrote is coming out. I don't have that safety. And it drives me insane each time I try to do a sermon. But the only way I can do it successfully is if I do it the way that I was built to do it, not the way they're built to do it. And the more that I try to be like them, the more that I fail. Lastly, when we're around this group of people and these bonds that we have, the more we look like Jesus. And that's simple. This is something we've talked about. Whenever you get in tight relationship with people, you find out the great things about them, and then even the best person in the world is going to annoy you. That's just the way it is. But we get to see these people so close, and we get to see the good and the bad, and we get to see them the way that Jesus made them. And when we can settle into that and we can see people we're close with that Jesus made them and celebrate who they are and everything that they do, then it's easier for us to look outside of our community and see all of the world the way God sees them. So these relationships make us more like Jesus. They help us see people the way Jesus does. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking, because I am the one that gets to make phone calls and ask you guys to get into life groups. And there's two major things I get back from the people that don't want to do it. One, it's, I just don't talk. I just don't really like being around people. It's just not for me. Well, you get around people enough, you get to know them, you're going to like them, and that doesn't work. We already established you need them, and they need you. It's not about you. Two, and the one that by far is the most, is my schedule. You don't understand what I have in my life, the schedule that we hold. You don't understand my kids. You don't understand. I'm not going to say a word that I got in trouble for last time up here, but you're full of it. Because in our group, we have several high school coaches. We had at one time every dad in our group was coaching something somewhere, where it was tournament style stuff, non-stop through the week. Through the weekends there was tournaments. We have people whose jobs aren't 9 to 5. We don't get time off. We are always on our job. We have people that are part of boards outside of in the community, and we have tons of kids all involved in this stuff. Tons of kids. And our families, our extended families. I don't want to hear it. That's just a joke, but really. Like, you can tell me that, and I can go, oh yeah, I understand. I do, but at the same time, our group makes it happen. Even if we have to sit through our calendar and go, hey, we can't do our regular time, but we can do this. Who can do this? Who can do that? We make it happen. And it's not because we just have to force ourselves to be around each other. And we do get great joy out of being each other. It's not because of those moments. It's because of the other moments in life that come up. And I got to tell you, in the last 2 years, our group has been through it. The deaths of several parents, siblings, friends that we've walked through, huge injuries to our kids that were season ending, almost year ending for a lot of them, troubles at work, finances, job, everything that you could think of that could happen to a set of people has happened. We've sat in that lobby over there and had prayer nights because we just don't know what else to do sometimes. And all we can do is get together and just pray for each other. That is why we are together. Because in those moments where life gets to be too much, we're there. We're walking through the fire with each other. We live out Acts chapter 2 in our worship and our social lives because it prepares us for what the world has and the mission that we have at hand. So what changes in your life? Whether you've been walking with Jesus for years or you're just getting into this, or what changes in your life? If you have a group of people that you are walking with day after day, week after week, what changes? What are the things that you've had to walk in life alone that has made so much better with a group of people that are willing to walk by your side? What changes? Last Friday, my son, I didn't plan this, I didn't tell him, but had major shoulder surgery. Probably puts him out for the year. It's kind of rough. But he has a group of friends that don't only just live life with each other outside of this room. They have Bible study together. They have fires in the backyard where they talk about Jesus. They live life together the way that we see in Acts. They are socially and spiritually bonded together. And Friday and Saturday, what my son gets is people coming over to visit, other boys bringing gifts, these other boys that are walking alongside of him, texting him, lifting him up through this moment. Now, some of them came as close as they could after he got home from surgery, and a lot of that may have to do with phones and very powerful drugs. But they're there for each other. And if high school boys can do this, we can too. It's what we were made for. So now, you're going to get out early. Oh man, this is later than I thought. But you're still getting out early because we are going to tag part of our worship life that's happening right now with a social event. We are going to walk into that gym together, and we are going to hit up the groups fair that is going on right now because we have given opportunity for you to sign up in this type of community. So I'm going to pray, and then it's up to you. Do you want this in your life? Because we know it's what Jesus did. We know it's what he modeled. We know it's what the early Christians did. We know it's what the people that turned the world upside down did to bring Jesus to the entire planet. And we keep thinking that this is a post-Christian world. That's what we keep saying. And I was talking to one of my friends that kind of has my job, and they were working some stuff with a consultant, and he said this: we've got to stop thinking that this is a post-Christian world and start realizing that this is the same pre-Christian world that the early church met. That is where our mindset has to be. To change the world, we have to do what they did, because it's the same world we live in. So, I'm going to pray, and then we're all going to go out these doors, right? Because I'm going to watch these ones. I'm just joking. I'm not going to. But this is your chance to go and be part of a community. And I want you to go in with a heart that it's not for what you get out of them. It is. But the main reason why you're going is what you can be in that community. It's not about you. It's about us. It's about our relationship with Jesus. It's about our mission. So let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you so clearly pointed out how we do life best. Lord, we ask you just burden our hearts for each other, for the world around us, for our ones, for whatever your mission may bring us. And right now, as we go over there, we ask that you help us find that group of people. Find those people that will do life with us, that we can truly act and be the church together and live in your mission. Because life's going to come, and we can't get through it without you, your love, and your people. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.